This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu alhamdulillah. Salatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. This is Riyad Razazi welcoming you to another episode of the Stories of the Prophets. And today, inshallah ta'ala, we will be with episode number 33 and session number 4, talking about Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam. All right? So let me put down a link here. Just comment. Musa. I'm just writing down like a tag. Some people suggested that I put a pin for people to see what the session is about. Shoulder to the oppressed. So I call it Musa, shoulder to the oppressed, or for the oppressed. Shoulder for the oppressed. There we go. And you would understand, why Musa, when I call the session shoulder for the oppressed, he will give up so many things just so that he can assist those who were disgraced, those who were humiliated, those who were thrown out from their homes, by Pharaoh, those who were in slavery. So we learn so many things from the story of Musa alayhi salam. So far we're like 4 sessions just talking about Musa alayhi salam, and I think we still have a lot more. I cannot tell you how many because I just go with the flow. We still have so many. And yesterday we spoke about when Musa alayhi salam was thrown into the river, and then he goes into where his mother was actually terrified for, so he goes into the palace of Fir'aun. But they plan, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plans, and Allah azza wa jal is the best of the planners. So as he goes into the palace of Fir'aun, he got picked up by the household of Fir'aun, who initially gave him to his wife Asiya. Asiya, she picked him up and she says, لا تقتلوه عسى ينفعنا أو نتخذه ولدا. Don't kill him. He may be of benefit to us, or we may take him as a son. We may take him as a child. And she loved him, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ولتصنع على عيني وألقيت عليك محبة مني. Allah has endued him with his love, which means if you were to see Musa alayhi salam, you will love him. You have no chose but to love him alayhi salam. So my brothers and sisters, when they picked him up, that's when Musa alayhi salam started crying. And yesterday we talked about why a baby would cry. There are many reasons, and I mentioned 3 main reasons why a baby would cry. Either he's hungry, either he need to change his diapers, or maybe he has some pain, pain maybe in his belly or whatnot, so they're crying, or maybe he's sleepy, right? So these are the main reasons why a baby is crying. Musa started crying. They thought he was hungry. They called in all these nurses, wet women, wet nurses. They called in Asiya, but Asiya, she couldn't breastfeed him. So they called in other women to breastfeed. Wallah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَحَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِ الْمَرَاضِعِ. And we made it prohibited for him. We made it prohibited for him to suckle from any woman. Why? He only has to, subhanAllah, be breastfed by his own mother. And I will tell you about this amazing mother, Ummu Musa. We don't even know her name. We know her as Ummu Musa, the mother of Musa. But she is a wonderful woman. You will see how she will, subhanAllah, she will condition her son, Musa alayhi salam, when he will come back, and then she will start, he will grow up in the house of, although he lives in the palace, but he will be breastfed by his own mother, right? So she will tell him stories, and she will, she will really, subhanAllah, raise him to become a leader. So that's why Allah Azza wa Jal would prohibit him to be breastfed by any woman other than his mother, because also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a promise to his mother, and that promise is, throw him into the case or into the box, throw him into the river, and don't be scared and don't be sad. We shall bring him back to you. So that promise number one, we shall bring him back to you. Promise number one, promise number two, and we shall make him from the messengers. You know, so the promise number one was fulfilled. How? When Musa alayhi salam was crying, baby Musa was crying. Let's call him baby Musa. And by the way, brothers and sisters, those of you who came in yesterday, Musa means what? I gave you this explanation yesterday. What does Musa mean? Because who gave him that name, Musa? They called him Musa in the palace. We said Ummu Musa, the mother of Musa. But who named him Musa? How did they know his name is Musa in the palace? Asiya, she says, don't kill him. He shall be of benefit to us. But how did they call him Musa? What does Musa mean? I found in the water. Yeah, he was thrown, you know, water discharge. You know, laqitul ma', water discharge. He was discharged by the water. So anything that's, you know, discharged by the water, they call, you know, Musa. So that's what the name came from. The name is derived from, you know, from that water, from the river that he was thrown out from. So anyways, he started crying. They brought in so many women, he would not breastfeed from any woman. And then his sister, who was watching from far, as the mother told his sister, you know, qussi an junub, you know, go from a secret place and keep watching him and see where he goes, where the current takes him. And lo and behold, the current takes him exactly where the mother was afraid from, you know, the current takes him to the palace of Fir'aun. So as the sister, she saw that, you know, he was crying and he would not breast, you know, he would not suckle from any woman. She came in and then she says, I know of a woman who has good milk. People, they bring their children, you know, their babies to her. And then, who are you? I am from Banu Israel, you know, and there's this woman who does it for, you know, she's seeking reward and she's seeking, you know, ajr at the same time, you know, monetary help at the same time. Go and call her. And then she goes back. She runs to her mother. Mom, Musa. What happened? Musa, where is Musa? Musa is in the palace of Fir'aun. Musa is in the palace of Fir'aun. Are they going to kill him? No, mom, come, run. And then she goes, the running, you know, لَوْلَا أَغْرَبَطْنَا عَلَى قَلْبِهَا. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthened her heart, made her heart bound fast, you know, otherwise she would have, revealed the whole story. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthened her heart. She goes, as soon as she picked up baby Musa, Musa stopped crying. She put him on her chest. Musa starts suckling. He starts suckling. Fir'aun is in awe. Asiya is in awe. They all are like, huh, what's going on here? Who are you, Moana? I am a mother from Banu Israel. I have good milk. And we like Musa. We love Fir'aun. We have no problem. They have to be politically correct here. Yeah, we love Fir'aun. We have no issues. I'm a mother from Banu Israel. I've got good milk. People, they bring me the babies to breastfeed. And we love Musa. So we love Fir'aun. So Fir'aun says, would you like to take this baby and breastfeed him in return for an allowance? In return for payment? And we said yesterday, brothers and sisters, she would have never dreamt to get money while breastfeeding her child, her baby. She would have never dreamt of it. Had she kept him, they would have killed him, right? They would have killed him. So Allah Azza wa Jalla told her, throw him in the basket, throw him in the river. We shall bring him back to you. We shall bring him back to you and we shall make him from the messengers. So here is the full, the first promise of Allah that's been fulfilled. First promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she got back her child. She got back her child. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. فَالْتَقَطَهُ آلُ فِرْعَوْنِ لِيَكُونَ لَهُمْ عَدُوًا وَحَزَنًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he mentions, you know, the story in Surah Al-Qasas, which we talked about. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the fact that when she took her son back, وَلِتَعْلَمَ أَنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٍّ, so that she knows that the promise of Allah is true. So she realizes that the promise of Allah is true. Allah made a promise. And the promise is, we shall bring him back to you. That's number one. Promise number two, and we shall make him from the messengers. So, promise number one is fulfilled. She did as she was told. That's why, my brothers and sisters, if you remember the happiness formula, the success formula is action plus true reliance equals success and happiness. Action plus true reliance through tawakkul equals success. She had to take action. And the action is put your son in that basket or in that case and throw him into the river. So she took action. And the action is tough, it's hard. It's not like an easy action. It's a tough action. It's a very hard action for the woman to throw her baby in the river. She wanted to save her baby, yet Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling her, you know, like the odds. What are the odds that you throw your baby in the river and we shall bring him back to you? But she put her reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, she threw him into the river. That's the action. And the true reliance, Allah told me he will bring him back and put in my trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him back to her. So now she is breastfeeding her child. Now she is breastfeeding not only her child, and she is getting an allowance on top of that. Right? She's getting allowance on top of that. Allahumma lak alhamd. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inspired this woman. Wa awhayna ila ummi Musa. And Allah azza wa jalla has inspired her. Right? So it's not like Jibreel was coming down to her with the wahi. No, she's not a prophet. But she got this inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, so do this. And she did. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfilled her promise. Or his promise subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, Musa had a mission. Musa had a mission. And the first mission to confront the greatest tyrant of all time, Fir'aun. That's number one. Right? He has a mission. So please write these things down. I'm writing down stuff, right? I've got my own notes, which I write down myself. Right? So write this thing down. Musa's mission. Musa's mission, mission number one, he has to confront the greatest tyrant of all time, the greatest transgressor of all time, Fir'aun. That's number one. Number two, he has to call Fir'aun to Tawheed. He has to call Fir'aun to La ilaha illallah. Although he's Fir'aun, huh? Yet, you will see inshallah ta'ala when we reach that scene where he will go and meet Fir'aun, call him. Call him to Tawheed, call him to Allah, call him to La ilaha illallah. One of the pious predecessors used to say, and a Fir'aun who says, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la. Ana Rabbukum al-A'la. Fir'aun used to say, I am your Lord the Most High. Ana Rabbukum al-A'la. Fir'aun used to say that. I am your Lord the Most High. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mercy towards him. He told Musa, call him. Call him towards La ilaha illallah. One of the pious predecessors said, if this is your mercy towards that who said, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la, how would your mercy be towards that who calls Subhana Rabbi al-A'la? Allahu Akbar. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? If that's your mercy towards the one who says, I am your Lord, the Most High, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la, how would your mercy be towards the one who says, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Allah is more merciful. Allah is the most compassionate. Allah is the most compassionate. Subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So, mission number two is to call Fir'aun to La ilaha illallah. Mission number three, to free Banu Israel from slavery, from adul, from humiliation, from disgrace. That's mission number three. To free them from slavery and from disgrace. And mission number four, to take Banu Israel out from Egypt and to start a renaissance. That's why I said, write these things down. This is the mission of Musa. Musa has a message, and then we will talk about those traits of leaders that we talked about yesterday. So mission number one is to confront Fir'aun. Mission number two is to call Fir'aun to La ilaha illallah. Mission number three is to free the Banu Israel from slavery and from disgrace and humiliation. And mission number four is to take Banu Israel out from Egypt and to start a renaissance. So he had to be prepared. There are four stages in the life of Musa alayhi salam. Four stages. Two prep stages, two preparation stages, and two executive stages or execution stages. The first preparation is from his birth until he's 30 years old. From his birth until 30. So these are four stages in the life of Musa alayhi salam, right? Because we just talked about his mission. We just talked about his mission. Four missions. Now he needs to, his stages in his life? Four stages. First stage is a preparation stage. From his birth until he's 30 years old. And he has to what? He has to live in the palace of Fir'aun. Remember, we mentioned that yesterday as to why he had to grow up in the palace of Fir'aun. They used to call him Prince Musa. Amir. Amir Musa. Yes, he used to be called Prince Musa. He had maids, he had beautiful clothes, he had bodyguards, And on top of that, education. Yes, education, the best education of all time. It's in the palace of Fir'aun. So he had to grow up in the palace of Fir'aun. So that's preparation stage number one. Preparation stage number two, 10 years he will spend in Jordan, in Midian, when he will meet those two women. Oh, that's another amazing story right there. That's another amazing story right there. Let me say salam to a brother that I love here. I want to say salam to this brother. I don't know. Why is it not working? I want to say salam to my brother right here. I want to say salam. I miss him. Oh, it's okay. He turned me down. Okay, I say salam from here, brother Ilyas. He turned me down. I want to say salam. He says, nope, decline. It's okay, no problemo. I just want to say hi, Zakallah khair. Anyways, that's... Okay, when you swallow what you have in your mouth, then come back, inshallah ta'ala. Do your thing, and then when you swallow what's in your mouth, then you can maybe say salam live to us. Anyways, so preparation number stage number two, that will be in Midian, in Jordan. How long would he stay in Midian? 10 years. 10 years. He will have that agreement with this man, the father of these women, right? Where Musa will water for them. We'll tell you that story. Amazing story. So many lessons from that story. So many lessons for women. So many lessons for daughters. And so many lessons for brothers who are looking to get married. And so many lessons for fathers who have girls wanting to get married. Yes, once we get to that story, inshallah ta'ala. That's stage number two in the life of Musa alayhi salam. Stage number three is execution stage number, stage number three is execution stage. Execution stage number one. And this is where he will confront Fir'aun. 15 years. Now it's execution stage. He's ready. He got prepared. 30 years. In Egypt. In the palace. 15 years. In Midian. In Jordan, and then execution now. Execution stage number one, confrontation with Fir'aun, 15 years. And execution number two, that's when he will take Banu Israel out from Egypt to build that renaissance. I said yesterday that Musa, when he died, they said he was about 75 years old when he died, alayhi salam. So he is a leader, but what are the traits of a leader? What are the qualities of a leader? And that's what we talked about yesterday a little bit. We started talking about the traits and the qualities of leaders. He had to be a leader because look at the mission that he has. Great mission. So he has to earn and learn and have those qualities, the leadership qualities that will allow him to fulfill his mission. So quality number one, or trait number one of a true leader, I said yesterday, brothers and sisters, those of you who were here yesterday, I mentioned two. What's number one? Just so I see if you guys were taking notes. Right? What's the trait number one of a leader? Na'am, tenderness and kindness. Zaklakhi, sister Yashmin. Marakallah. Na'am, Yasin. You know, number one is tenderness and kindness. A true leader, he has to have that, subhanAllah, he has to have that tender heart. And you will see that Musa, he got that. He got that from two moms. Two moms. He had two moms. What are the two moms? Asiya, the fostering mom, right? Asiya, she loved him. So she gave him so much hanan. She gave him that gentleness. Because the leader has to be gentle and tender and kind. So he got that from his mother, you know, from his Asiya, the fostering mother. And from his own mother as well. And from his own mom. Right? His own mom. So he's filled with hanan. He lived with hanan. He lived with gentleness. He lived with gentleness and he lived with tenderness. So for a true leader, he has to have that hanan. He has to have that tenderness. Number one. Number two, distinguished education. Knowledge. Yes, distinguished. Not any education. You have to have distinguished education. علم التعليم متميز. And he went to the best universities on earth that time. He went to the best universities in the world at the time. Yeah, the Stanford of the time, the Harvard and the Oxford of that time was in the palace of Fir'aun. The palace of Fir'aun. The best of the... And you know how the Egyptians... Yeah, until today, they still cannot figure out the wisdom or the technology behind the pyramids. The Egyptians, mashallah, at the time, they were not only brilliant, you know, and like I'm telling you, with all the technology of today, subhanAllah, they still cannot figure out the technology behind, the science behind the pyramids. So that's why I'm saying the greatest and the best university of the whole world at that time was in the palace of Fir'aun. Was in Fir'aun. So Musa studied there. Musa grew up there. He's just going to live there happy with the best toys and the best maze. Nah, of course he had to be educated. And he got the most distinguished, best education of all time. Egyptians at the time, people used to come from all over to go and study in Egypt at the time. Like I said, look at the pyramids. Right? Does that make sense to you, brothers and sisters? Talk to me. Does that make any sense to you, what I'm saying here? Number two, that's number two. What's number three? I did not mention number three. So here's number three. But are you following, brothers and sisters? You're following, right? Naz, Thabit. All right, you're following. Guys, Umar bin Ali and Latifa and the Mujahida, those of all of you on Facebook, you're following, right? All right, Yasin? All right, that's number two. Number three, another trait of a good leader, of a great leader, physical strength. Physical strength. Na'am, to be a leader, you have to be strong. And al-fara'ina at the time, the fir'auns at the time, they used to teach their kids ulum, science, and training, sports. Not only in Greece, like the Romans, Greece, you know, also in Egypt. Also in Egypt. So, the fara'ina, the jam' fir'aun, the fara'ina, you know, the plural of Fir'aun is the Fara'ina. At the time, they used to, you know, make sure that their kids are, you know, they get involved with, of course, education and sports. So Musa was strong. In fact, brothers and sisters, Musa was very strong. Musa was very strong. Who can give me one... One evidence that backs up my statement that Musa was strong. I didn't make it up from my own. Musa was strong. Who can give me one evidence? Yes, Mu'nisa, mashallah, Mu'nisa, great. He killed a man with one punch. He punched him and killed him. What kind of punch is that? You know, what kind of punch is that? This is like the one inch punch. You know, Bruce Lee, he used to have this, it was called the one inch punch. I don't know if you guys know about this. You know, Bruce Lee, you know, this legendary, you know, man, and I have so much respect, although he was, regardless of his faith, if you study the story of Bruce Lee, you will learn so much from that man as well. You know that Bruce Lee, he got paralyzed from his back and he was on a wheelchair. Doctors told him he would never be able to walk. Bruce Lee. He would never be able to walk. He got paralyzed from his back. Even doctors at the time, he lived in San Francisco, right? They told him he would never be able to walk. And he defeated all the odds and he came back and he won tournaments and competitions. Regardless of his faith. I'm not talking about the faith. I'm talking about the philosophy of that man and the psychology, right? So he has something called the 1-inch punch. 1 inch, just like from very close, he just comes, that energy comes down, all down from his body, and then it goes, 1-inch punch. Go, you can watch it, it's on YouTube. And then he makes a guy fly. 1-inch punch. Musa alayhi salam, he had 1 punch, he killed a guy. 1 punch, he killed a guy. So physical strength, that's number 3. Number 4, he has to have pride. He has to have pride. A good leader, one of the traits of leadership, right? You know, leader, he has to have confidence. This is where when he went to confront Fir'aun, you would see that confidence and that pride. That confidence and that pride. يعني, as we say in Arabic, marfu' al-ras, his head high. You know, when you go down, when you feel, you know, like modest, but you know, yeah, you have to be modest, of course, but not to be, not to be arrogant. So, but you know, you have to have that confidence. Yani pride, yani not the pride of arrogance I just explained. It's not that arrogance type of pride, but let's say, you know, I'm proud of myself, alhamdulillah. That kind of pride, not pride to make you arrogant, you know, depends on how you put it in that context. The context here is, يعني, to have that confidence, to have that pride, like, you know, مرفوع الرأس, not like pride, like the Qarun pride that led him to destruction. I'm not talking about that type of pride, you know, proud of your achievements, proud of yourself. You know, you're talking with pride, with, you know, with confidence, that type of pride. That's number 4. Number 5, and by the way, Musa, now he's going back to his mom and he's growing up, you know, living both in the palace of Fir'aun, and he goes to his mom to be breastfed. So he's between here and there, he's between here and there. And as he started growing up, his mother, she's talking to him. But his mother, she never told him the truth yet. She never told him who she really was yet. She never told him who he was yet. For a leader, another trait of leader, he has to be courageous. He has to have courage. Courage to speak. Courage to confront. Later on, he will lead Banu Israel, tens of thousands of them. Tens of thousands, the children of Israel. So he will need that courage to confront this, to confront that, to speak to this, to speak to that. And he will, you know, of course he will confront Fir'aun as well, first and foremost. So he will need that courage. And as he goes to his mom, of course, brothers and sisters, he is growing up with his brother as well, Harun. Harun, his brother. So he grows up as well with his brother Harun. Not only his mom, but this is my brother Harun. Yeah, and he does not know yet that he is his blood brother, but his brother from fostering, from breastfeeding. His mother started telling him, and this will bring us to another trait of true leader. his mother started telling him stories. And one of the stories that his mother used to tell him is the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Allahu Akbar. Yusuf alayhi salam. Why do you think his mother was telling him the story of Yusuf precisely? Why do you think his mother is telling him the story of why not Yaqub? Why not Ishaq? Why not Ibrahim? Ibrahim, the father of the prophets. Why Yusuf alayhi salam? Brothers and sisters, tell me why. Those of you on Instagram, those of you on Facebook, why do you think his mother was precisely telling him the story of Yusuf? About patience. Ibrahim went to patience. Noah, patience. Ayyub, patience. Ayyub, patience. All right? Why? He was in prison, Morkain, reuniting with the family. Yeah, he was in prison. But Musa wasn't in prison because he was away from his parents. Because he was, Layla says, because he was from that progeny. Arham waldik. Allah yirdi alik. Irham waldik wa yirdi alik. Mashallah, Layla. Good, very good. Because he was from that progeny. Because Yusuf alayhi salam, not only he was from the progeny, but also he lived in Egypt, and the people of Egypt loved him. Same road as Musa, almost. Na'am. Same road. He was from his progeny. He was from Banu Israel. Yusuf was from Banu Israel. But he lived in Egypt, and the Egyptians, they used to love him. Right? So Musa, he's from Banu Israel, eventually. But initially he's from Banu Israel. How would the Egyptians would love you? How can they love you? You know? Once they find out that you're from the children of Israel, you're not an Egyptian. Because now they think you're an Egyptian. Right? So Yusuf alayhi salam, he was actually from Banu Israel. And the Egyptians used to love him. Why? Remember the story of Yusuf alayhi salam? We talked about it, right? When he interpreted that dream and he saved Egypt and the Egyptians from that drought and from the famine. He saved them from the drought and from famine, and countries, people from all over, you know, around, they used to send, you know, they used to go to Egypt for, you know, for food and for help, right? So Yusuf alayhi salam, he saved Egypt and the Egyptians. So of course they used to love him. So she used to tell him the story of Yusuf. Brothers and sisters, why? No, you said, okay, we said that, this and that. But now, why? Not Yusuf. Why she picked a person? I'll tell you. And this is a trait of a leader. A leader needs a role model. So his mom used to tell him about Yusuf, so that he can take Yusuf as his role model. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Yes. A leader needs a role model. Every leader in this world now, you know, all these great leaders, they all have coaches. They all have coaches. They must have some role models. You know, if you want to be a role model, pick somebody that you really... you want to be a great speaker, for instance. You want to be a great speaker. Pick someone, and we teach this in the world of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, you know, and personal development. You know, you want to be a great leader, you know, in, let's say, public speaking or in business. Pick somebody who's very, very successful businessman or businesswoman, and try to study their route and what they have done to reach what they have reached. You want to be a great speaker, pick somebody that you really, يعني, mashallah, admire in terms of public speaking, and see that person, how they speak, how they communicate, how, you know, their life. You have to have a role model. You have to have a role model. So she, as a leader, you know, so she is telling him the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Eventually she wants him to take Yusuf as a true role model for him. He's from your great grandfather, Yusuf. Not only he's your great grandfather. Step by step. Step by step. Until she tells him the truth. Until she tells him the truth. And imagine, my brothers and sisters, the day when his mother would tell him the truth. The whole truth. When he's ready now. The whole truth. Fir'aun saw this dream. And he would kill all the newly born from Banu Israel. So 1 year he would kill them all. And 1 year he would set them free. That year when he decided to kill them, that's when you were born. So I gave birth to you, oh my son. She's telling him the story. I gave birth to you and I couldn't even scream. I couldn't make a noise because I was afraid that soldiers would pass by and they would hear me. They would take you and kill you. They used to have spies going around. And then Allah Almighty inspired me. So what I did was I had to forcefully take you and put you in a basket. And I had to throw you into the river, O Musa. And Musa, imagine he's listening. I had to throw you in the river. That's what I've been inspired to do. But Allah has promised me that he will bring you back to me. And he did. Probably Musa is crying. Maybe she's crying too when she's narrating the story. As a mom, she's probably crying, telling him the story. And then she says, you go and I told your sister to watch you from far. You were crying and you refused to, suckle from any woman, from any nursing woman. And then your sister went and she told him about me. So I came in and then I put you on my chest and then you stopped crying. And then you took my breast and then you started suckling. And then Fir'aun asked me if I could, raise you, and he gave me some allowance for it. I never told them who I was because I was afraid that if they knew that you're from Banu Israel, they would kill you. So I am your actual true mom, O Yusuf. Asiya is not your mother. He heard the whole story from his own mother. This is why I told you, sisters and brothers, this mother, she is a great mother. Azima. The only mother who's in fact mentioned in the Quran, three of her children are mentioned in the Quran. The only mom in the Quran whereby three of her children are mentioned in the Quran. Musa, Harun, and their sister. It's been said that their sister is also named Maryam. Maryam. A great woman. That's why he would not suckle from any woman. He would only suckle from his own birth mother. What a great mom. How she took the steps. How she took that steps. Step by step, step by step. She was grooming him and grooming him and grooming him. Slowly, slowly, slowly telling him about Yusuf alayhi salam. Telling him about this, telling him about that. Telling him, slowly. And then when she found the right moment and she felt it was the right moment, right? She told him the truth. And she told him, do not reveal this yet. Don't divulge this news yet. Don't tell who you are yet. Don't go and cause any chaos right yet. No. Stay as is. And this is another trait of a good leader, brothers and sisters. A good leader has to be balanced and flexible. We learn this from Musa, the story of Musa. This is why I said, I don't just narrate stories of the prophets. We derive lessons from the stories of the prophets. Another, quality of a good leader is, he has to be balanced, right? Balanced. And in his personality, balanced personality and flexible personality. Flexible. Banu Israel, Egypt, I lived in the palace, I lived with the poor and the humiliated, he's flexible. Don't tell your story yet. Don't share your story yet. Don't go and tell them who you are yet. It is not the right time yet. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, even when you see something wrong, sometimes it's wiser not to do anything until the proper time, until the right time. And you have to pick that right time, and you have to pick that right place, and you have to pick that right word or words. Even in enjoining good and forbidding evil. Wait for the right time. Wait for the right place. And wait for the right, you know, and pick the right words. It was not the right time for him to go and reveal who he was. But he will. Now that he knows, he will be tested. And he will have to make a choice. Remember, he's Prince Musa. Is he going to lose his title? Because he will have to make a choice. And a lot of us sometimes, brothers and sisters, we are in that same situation where we have to make a choice. And unfortunately, a lot of us happen to make the wrong choice. You go to a test, you make a choice, but unfortunately, a lot of us make the wrong choice. You know what choice to make, actually. You know what choice to make. But you don't make that true choice. You don't make that right choice. You go with the choice that feels your that goes with your whims and desires. You will see. You will see later on where am I going to lose my status? Am I going to lose my maids and my bodyguards and my horses and my clothes and my beautiful, you know, and all this glamorous life I had to live as a poor man with Ben Israel and to lose my title? I need to make a choice. What choice will I make? Do I have to keep that hijab on? Or do I have to remove this hijab to keep this job? This job that I need. I truly need this job. I truly, truly need this job. But this job requires that I remove my hijab. This job requires that I do not pray. The job requires that I deal with riba, that I deal with usury. And so on and so forth. I'm just giving you an example. So you will see Musa alayhi salam being stuck at one point. He will have to make a choice. And yes, he will make the right choice. And yes, he will lose his status. And yes, he will lose his... Yes, the mother, the wife of Fir'aun as well. The wife of Fir'aun, Asiya, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Surah At-Tahrim, about Asiya. When she says, "Oh Allah, save me from Fir'aun and his dhulm and grant me house in Jannah." Yani, she wants to lose all her gold and all her diamonds and all her gems and all her maids and all her silk clothes and all her this and all her that. You know, just because she chose to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she chose to give up all her glamorous life. She chose. That's why I said some people, a lot of us sometimes make the wrong decision and make the wrong choices. Yes, you may say, "I'm going to lose all this and come back with nothing." But you're doing the right choice. It's a test, remember? You know, success and happiness, action plus true reliance. Action plus true tawakkul. And then you will have success and happiness. She says, the wife of Fir'aun asks, "Ya Allah, just save me from Fir'aun. I'm willing, you know, to give up all this life in the palace. But in exchange, build me a house in Jannah." Allahu Akbar. Build me a house in Jannah. She chose to believe. It's been said that they, you know, that Fir'aun, you know, crucified her in this tree. And they were beating her up and starving her up in the midst of the desert in the heat of Egypt. In the heat of Egypt. In the street, beating her up and then starving her. And then Ibn Kathir says, before she died, she looked up the sky and she smiled as if she saw her accommodation in Jannah, because she requested Allah for Allah. You know, she requested Allah to build a house for her in Jannah. She saw her house in Jannah before she died. She smiled and she died. But she gave up everything. That's going to happen. You will see how it's going to happen with Musa. At what point, at what stage he's going to make that decision? And then what's going to happen to him after that? He will lose a lot, but he will gain a lot as well. And it's not going to be easy. It's going to be tough. He's going to travel barefooted. He's going to travel the desert. He's going to travel the desert, you know, day and night. He will hide during the day and he will travel during the night. Why? You will see why. He will see why he will hide during the day and he will travel during the night, not knowing where he's going. He had no compass. He had no compass to show him where he's going in the desert. He's got no phone to show him the GPS, the sign, north, south, east, west. He had no GPS. He had nothing. He only said, oh Allah, guide me and save me from al-qawm al-dhalimin. Save me from these oppressors. How would that happen? Then you have to come back, sisters and brothers. You have to come back to follow the sessions, inshallah ta'ala. As I told you, this is a very long series. You know, we're starting Musa now, episode number 33 and session number 4 with Musa. Only session number 4 with Musa. I anticipate maybe 10 more sessions just with Musa alayhi salam. Maybe 10, maybe more. Maybe 10, maybe more, inshallah ta'ala. You will have to come back to learn more about Musa alayhi salam. To come back to learn about the challenges of Musa alayhi salam. What is, you know, what's going to happen to him alayhi salam? You know, when he, before he travels, that decision that he has to make, because he will go back to the palace and live, you know, and he will go to Asiya and he will not mention nothing to Asiya, acting normal. He will live in the palace. Prince Musa, Prince Musa. But at what point he will make that decision? Inshallah ta'ala, we'll talk more about this bi'idhnillah. Jazakum Allah khair, barakallahu feekum, hayyakum Allahu bayyakum. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala barak feekum, may Allah bless you, may Allah reward you. Jazakum Allah khair all for joining. You know, I hope to see you all again. Tomorrow, Friday, will be the final session for this week, inshallah ta'ala. And most likely, inshallah, after Iran, that poll, we will change the series to the weekends instead of weekdays, because the majority, they want it to be on the weekends. So we will go back to the weekends, maybe Friday, Saturday, Sunday or so, inshallah ta'ala. You can always go back and watch the sessions which you have missed. They are recorded on Facebook. They are recorded on YouTube. Please share. Don't just listen to them by yourself. Share. And they are also on Instagram. You know, you can always go back and watch them. Jazakum Allah khair. Barakallahu feekum. Thank you so much for watching. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Those of you on Facebook, thank you. Jazakum Allah khair. Mujahida wa Shehnaz. Who else? More. Kane, Khadija, and Lula, and Omar. You know, all of you. And those of you on Instagram, Yasin, Moon, and Yasmin. Jazakum Allah khair. And Nawal. Jazakum Allah khair. Thank you so much. Barakallahu feekum. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله